So great to have those of you joining us online and all of you. So wonderful to put all of our worshiping communities together to kick off the fall. New Hope, Chinese Covenant, Sanctuary Modern. One church in Jesus Christ. And choir, bel canto this morning, I have realized just how much I have missed you. It is so great to have you back. So wonderful. Holy Spirit, use your word to bring us to life, to breathe new life into the dead places. We know you can do it. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, we are starting a new sermon series called Remake, where we're going to look at the passage that Pastor Alexis has read, along with a few others, over the next few weeks, about how God remakes all things here on earth to be more like his heaven. How God heals what's been broken, unites what's divided, brings hope where there's hopelessness, so that what's been wrecked and ruined can be restored and remade better, bigger, stronger than it ever was before. So let me ask this. Is there anything in your life or in our country that needs to be remade right now? Like, I don't know, maybe like everything? Right? As I said a couple of weeks ago, we are just in a season of suckage. 18, that's my word, I like it. And 18 months of a pandemic that is still with us. Back in June, when we were planning this sermon series, we were using the phrase, oh yeah, it'll be post-pandemic, and so not so post-pandemic. Some of you from New Hope or Chinese Covenant are immigrants trying to make your way in a new country in a pandemic, and that's super hard. Some of you have lost your jobs. There's racial injustice. Some of you may feel spiritually dry, like maybe things are going okay, but you're wanting more and kind of a bigger life. And then there's all the division that is wrecking families and churches and our entire country. Everybody seems mad at everyone all the time about everything. A couple months ago, I was at the doctor for an annual physical, and the nurse was asking me questions. Have you had any heart problems in the last year? Have you had any illness in the last year? Have you had any depression in the last year? And I just looked at her. She's like, right, moving along. It's just been one of those years. Now, not everything is terrible. Some of you, your life is going awesome. But you know what? With Jesus, it can always be more awesome still and bigger, better, deeper. And this passage shows us that God is in the remaking business. God shows the prophet Ezekiel a valley of dry bones that he is going to bring back to life. But before he revives them, he does something very interesting. In verse 2, Ezekiel says, he led me back and forth among the dry bones, bones that were very dry. That is, before God does any remaking at all, before the happy ending, God forces Ezekiel to look at the dry bones and grieve over them. Because here's the thing, remaking begins with remembering what we have lost. It's what we're doing as a nation. This weekend, that terrible day 20 years ago, 9/11, so much hatred, but also so much heroism in the first responders and the passengers of Flight 93. And the biblical word for this is lament. Lament means to take time to reflect on and talk about the pain and the hurt of what's been lost. And lament is all over the Bible. The Psalms, a lot of them are laments. Jesus laments. There's a whole book in the Bible of nothing but laments called Lamentations. Super fun book. Super cheery. I encourage you to read it. It'll pick you right up. And lament is important for a couple of reasons. First, lament matters because it draws us closer to God. God wants us to bring our pain and our anger to him because it builds relationship. Second, and we see this a lot, unexpressed pain turns into all too easily expressed anger or depression. What we bury makes us mad and sad, so we need to lament. And then third, we experience just how good the good news is when we first grieve the bad news. And the bones that Ezekiel sees here, they represent the Israelites. And they have been conquered by the Babylonians and taken into exile in Babylon. And God says, can these dry bones live? And Ezekiel says, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. In other words, God only knows. It's kind of cynical. Because all Ezekiel can see is dead things, no life. And maybe that's how you feel. Can this broken friendship be restored? Can my loneliness end? Can my school life or work life be revived? Can racial injustice be stopped? Can this marriage be healed? Can these dry bones live? And the point of the passage is that, yes, they can. But first, before we move to the new thing God is going to do, we have to remember, lament, grieve, so we can fully heal. Now, it needs to be said that lament is not the same thing as wallowing or whining. Okay, all of us know people that complain constantly, even when things are good. Some of us are those people. That's not lament, that's wallowing. Lament, here's what lament is. Lament is an unfinished sentence that says, this hurts, but God. And lament is not rushing to complete the sentence, whether for yourself or listening to someone else lamenting. Because we don't know what but God will do, but we do know that God will do something. Most of us can say that even in the midst of this pandemic, God has been doing good things. Some of you have connected with family in a deeper way. Some of you have learned the joy of not being busy all the time. And as a church, good things happened. We had more people in all-in groups than we've ever had before, and people said that made them feel connected to God, each other, and the church. We gave over $2.8 million away to do things like support refugees from Iran and Afghanistan with food and housing. We helped over 80 individuals and families in this church with rent, utilities, groceries. We joined with the Jubilee Reach Grocery Project to provide food for 600 families who couldn't afford it. And we sent over $300,000 to Congo to help victims of genocide and to help bring peace there. God was at work even in the middle of the dry bones. Lament is when you grieve the dry bones, knowing that God is still up to something. This week, we dropped my son off at college in California, and a couple weeks before that, we dropped our youngest child off, Lucy, last one, dropped her off at college at University of Utah. Oh, I was not ready for how that was going to feel. Oh, man, last one, the baby left the house, the empty nest. A few days before we dropped her off, some friends asked Christina, "Are you going to cry?" And she said, "Maybe, but he will for sure." Pointing to me, but when we said goodbye, guess who was crying? It was my wife, and me a little bit too, and on our way out, there were these students in the hall, and my wife said, "Move over, make way for crying parents." And now every time I pass her room in our house, I think, oh, that's Lucy's room, and she's not here. The other day, I was looking at all the cereal that we have, because my son eats a lot of cereal, and I was thinking, who's going to eat the cereal now? Jackson's not here. I'm grieving over cereal. It's pathetic. Okay, it's lament. Okay, borderline whining, but it's lament. But I also know that God is going to do new things. We're going to get to see our kids' lives unfold, and that's awesome. So recently, we asked some folks in our church the question, what has the pandemic been like for you? So in order to remember, before I move on to the second part of this sermon, which is all about remaking, but before that, let's remember, let's take a look at some of the experiences of people in this church, and then after that, there'll be some time for you to reflect and give your pain to God. Let's hear from some folks in our church.
The pandemic has been transformational.
A tragedy.
Isolating.
Growth. Time.
Lonely. Excruciating.
Life-changing.
Initially, my wife and I weren't very concerned when the pandemic started. Then all of a sudden, people were dying. We were fearful. We were worried about our friends. We were losing friends. We lost several good friends. Then the isolation and aloneness started to emanate, which had a devastating effect on everybody.
Very anxiety and stress-inducing for me. It was really difficult to kind of just go into this mode of isolation.
So I had a baby in November of 2020. One of the hardest parts for me was just going through that pregnancy in isolation, so to speak. My husband couldn't come to any of the appointments with me. It was really lonely to feel like I was in this pregnancy on my own.
And being a wife and a mom in a family and helping other people manage their anxiety has been a huge struggle as well. We're just not meant to be isolated from our classrooms and our colleagues and stuck at home for months on end. The sense of helplessness that I felt trying to navigate that with my husband and children has been really difficult.
Something that we have mourned during the pandemic is how few people have met Sally. Gosh, I can count on one hand the number of people who have held her. And that's been really sad.
New Hope community, our community, one always have the culture to getting together. So during the pandemic, we didn't. That was really tough to them. They feel there was so much disconnections.
It really amplified, I think, areas of my life that I needed to actually focus on in spiritual growth. The anxiety, stress-inducing areas, it's like, oh, I should have a glass of wine to reduce my stress, and I'm just being honest. But it also just showed me that I need more dependency on God, less on those other things. Like, he really showed me what needed to be different to be closer to him, because everything else is basically stripped away.
I think the pandemic forced us as a society to have to focus in on issues of racial justice and the Black Lives Matter movement. We had to listen to the experiences and the stories of people. Personally, for me, it was a time of mourning. It was a time of fear, but also of healing. I was able to connect with family and friends who were African American, and we spent some time sharing our own stories, praying together, and just coming to a place of wholeness in the midst of tragedy and chaos.
One of the biggest challenges for New Hope family, most of them lost their job. You can imagine when they lost their job, it was so hard to get the food and hard to get the rent. And sometimes also many people in New Hope family, they support back home. When they lost their job, it was a really tough time.
Losing close friends, my best golfing friend, was just devastating. In 2 days, we lost him. So it seemed so arbitrary. The fear factor among us, we just didn't know who was going to be next.
We were pregnant in 2020 with a very uncertain outcome, but we did joyfully welcome our baby girl, Elise. But her journey was fraught with so much uncertainty. When she came home, there were a lot of complications, and that's when we longed most for our support system, for our family and friends. They were all supportive virtually, but the sad part was nobody could be really, really close to us. After 3.5 months of celebrating Elise, she died. She was called home to glory, and that was a very painful time. What made it even more painful was that we couldn't be with our family and our friends.
We had each other's shoulder to cry on. But we also longed for so many close friends and family all across the globe who just wanted to be beside us.
But all of that was not possible because of the pandemic. People came to our doorsteps, but we couldn't hug them. And we had to weep from a distance. Having a death during the pandemic, it's such a difficult, difficult moment.
Thank you.
This journey of grief comes in waves and it's difficult. There have been some good moments in it and there are some really, really hard times in it. But at every junction that we get to, we see God's hand all along the way. And as we cry, we experience his comfort. And as we go through the pain, we also experience his joy. And we are open to what he's doing with our story and on this journey, as painful as it has been.
There is always light at the end of the tunnel. He's always there. There's always light in the darkness if you choose to look for it.
I've seen God show up in the small interactions that I have with my kids and my wife. Just how that closeness has brought a lot of intentionality to our relationships and reminded us how much we like each other.
The all-in group that we formed in the church here really filled a spiritual void, and it helped eliminate the isolation that we felt away from the church. It was intergenerational from age 25 to 80, and we became closer to each other.
The pandemic has changed my perspective in that I'm choosing to focus on relationships. I'm heading into this new school year with a big red marker, ready to cross off everything that doesn't fit in with my priorities. Essentially, I've just rediscovered a simple life, and I'm not ready to give it up.
I think so during the pandemic has been developing me the character to trust God more, because I felt it was the time really to depend on God, not to depend what's going on.
I think my perspective is really actually a refocus. And the refocus is on that God can take my anxiety. Like, it's not something I have to manage. Like, he can manage it for me. And I just gotta go to him.
I think the pandemic has brought to light a lot of things that were laid hidden in our society, like racial justice, for example. I think it's something that the world is telling us what it needs. And as the body of Christ, we can step into this moment and show people the love of Jesus by doing justice. And I'm excited to see how we step into this moment.
People are looking at their lives differently now. I think people are looking at their lives with more purpose. And for that, I'm grateful.
There have been times where I've got the question, is there anything you would like to change in the pandemic? And I would say that in some cases, maybe not, because it has refined us. Through all of this, we see a line of God threading through every bit of this, the ups and the downs, because he is always in control.
So lament is an unfinished sentence that says, this hurts, but God. And those last two words are filled with hope. So after Ezekiel laments the dry bones, God begins to remake them. And God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones. Basically, that means preach to these dry bones. And that's kind of weird, right? Like, you might go, wow, what's that like to preach to a bunch of dry bones? Ask any pastor. We do it every Sunday. I'm only sort of joking. God's remaking begins when we preach to the dead places in our life. Preach to the broken marriage. Preach to the financial problems. Preach to the loneliness. Preach to the school problem. And say what Ezekiel says here. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. And remaking starts when we preach to the dead places in our life, because we are claiming God's power. And we are reminding ourselves that impossible has never stopped our God. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I refuse to give up. I refuse to give in. I refuse to cave in to despair, because you are not sovereign. God is, and he is remaking all things. And Ezekiel says, as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, as the bones came together, bone to bone. And notice, God doesn't just like zap the bones and they instantly come alive. It's a process. It happens in stages. God's remaking in our life sometimes takes months, even years. But we get little glimpses of it along the way. Because when God starts to move, there will be a rattling in your life. Little bits of hope here and there. You make a new friend, you get a new job, you quit a destructive habit, and at first it starts out really small, but it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then Ezekiel says, tendons and flesh appeared on him, but there was no breath in him. So God said, prophesy to the breath. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Because see, this is how God works. I spoke the truth to the dead things in my life, and there was a rattling sound in my life. And day by day, month by month, year by year, they came together so that the things that were once dead in my life now stand as a vast army, and they fight for me. This is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves. And that image of, I love this new choir with the, love it, with the kind of the, amen. Yes, thank you. You're just agreeing with God's promises and truth. That's a good thing. And that image of opened up graves obviously points forward to Jesus' resurrection. And this text gives us some promises of what comes out of those opened up graves. And there's a lot of them. I'm just going to briefly name a few, and in the weeks ahead, we'll go into more detail. This is just overview. First promise to come out of opened up graves is things that are disconnected become connected again. Ezekiel heard a rattling sound as the bones came together. It's an image of things being disconnected, being reconnected. 20 years ago, after 9/11, we were so united as a country, and now we are so divided as a country, divided in families, divided in this church. But God unites what the world divides. That's one of the reasons that we are all worshiping together today, modern, sanctuary, New Hope, Chinese Covenant. And some of you modern folks may be going like, wow, this is kind of traditional. And some of you sanctuary people may be going, oh, this is kind of modern. And some of you from New Hope and Chinese Covenant might be going, these Americans are just crazy. I don't understand anything that's going on. This doesn't make any sense at all, right? But we wanted to kick off the fall like this because in a world that is so divided, we wanted to be, at least for fall, kickoff a church fully united in Jesus Christ. And we are so blessed here in this church. Very few churches could do this. Very few. We are blessed with all of these different cultures, all of this different kind of music, all of which shows us how big God's kingdom is, expands our worshiping abilities and our worship life. It's not a subtraction. It's an addition. And we are so blessed to have this here. Most churches don't. It doesn't make us better. It just means God's doing something here that's exciting. It's also why, starting next Sunday, New Hope and Modern Worship will be combined at 11 o'clock service every single Sunday from here on out. Because what the world divides, God unites. It's why I would encourage you to get in an all-in small group, because so many people did that and they said it connected me better to God, to other people, and to this church. And they start next week. You can sign up in the lobby. You can sign up in the party in the parking lot afterwards. Or if you're online, you can sign up online as well. God is going to reconnect what has been disconnected. We are claiming that promise for this year, and we'll move into that. Second promise that comes out of opened up graves, a deeper connection to God. Several times in this passage, God says he's going to restore the dry bones, and he says, then you will know that I am the Lord. He says, the Lord, because Israelites knew God, but they thought of him as a local deity, just kind of the God of Israel. But when in Babylon, in exile, they discovered he was there too and saw how big he is. Whatever dry bones there are in your life right now, God is going to breathe life into them, and then you will see how big God is. And then the third promise that comes out of opened up graves is a bigger vision. At the beginning, all Ezekiel can see is dry bones, no vision for what they could be. And maybe all you see right now are dry bones, but God sees more. God sees the days, the weeks, and the years ahead. I saw a meme on social media that I thought was kind of amusing about Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, which I know after the Oprah interview, kind of controversial, but just forget about that part. And the meme said this, and it said, so let me get this straight, because Harry and Meghan's kids are American citizens, they are now eligible to become president of the United States. Wow, way to play the long game, George III. Maybe all you see right now are dry bones. God plays the long game, and he sees what you cannot see. God gives Ezekiel a big vision of these bones reunited into this vast army. We are those bones come together. We are God's vast army called to a spiritual battle. The church is not an audience to be entertained. It is an army to be deployed. Deployed to participate with Jesus as he remakes all things. Marriage is made new. Tensions between parents and kids eased. Senior citizens feeling valued rather than ignored. Racial justice and reconciliation. Divisions in our culture healed. Immigrants finding a new home. And hopeless people are given hope. It is a big vision about the remaking of all things, starting with me and then moving out to the places where I live, work, play, learn, and to the places in the world God has called us. Recently, I was talking to a professor at Whitworth University, where I'm on the board, great university, and he told me that he was talking to some professors from Harvard and other universities that are doing this huge study on faith in America, which mostly means Christianity. And he said that they say that since 1999, the decline in numbers of people identifying as Christian is so steep, so rapid, so huge, they can hardly measure it. The number of people who believe in Jesus in America is in free fall. In spite of the fact that the other part of their study, which uses all these sophisticated measurements, shows that the benefits of being Christian are enormous in almost every part of life. Truly committed Christians have better marriages, better health, better educational outcomes, and score higher on life satisfaction tests. They call it, quote, an unexplainable disconnect between the benefits of being Christian and the numbers of Christians. An unexplainable disconnect. You know what I call that? An opportunity. That people who are disconnected from God can find hope through Jesus, who is God himself, coming in human form to connect us. And we have so much opportunity. People from all over the world are moving here to the east side. Look at all the towers going up in downtown Bellevue. Tens of thousands of workers coming, not just to Bellevue, but all over the east side. So many of them are far from God and need the hope that Jesus can bring. And we are right in the middle of it and get a chance to tell them in a gracious way of the God who breathes new life into workplaces and marriages and families, about the God who brings dry bones back to life. We got an email a while back from a woman named Amy who lives in Rwanda. And she goes to the Center for Champions, which is a school that this church built and started in Rwanda. And this is what she wrote to us. She said, I was born in a poor family of six children. My father and my mother fought constantly, and I never felt safe in my home. Finally, our father chased our mother and all of us children out of the house. We only had a little bit of money, which she used to rent one room, and that's where the seven of us lived. There were many days we did not eat. There was no money for food. Our mother tried to keep us in school, but a time came when she couldn't pay our fees, so we had to drop out. It was traumatizing to me and my siblings, because I used to perform very well in school, and I had a dream of completing my education so I could take good care of myself, mother, and my siblings. And now I could see that my dream would never be a reality. So dry bones. Divided, fighting family, poverty, shattered dreams, but God was moving. She went on, and she said, but deep in my heart, I always longed to go back to school and would ask God to help me return. Then my cousin told me about the Center for Champions, which supports needy children like me. She said, my cousin said I should go and try my luck. God's mighty hand was on me because I immediately was registered for the center. And I could not believe my eyes when I received school uniforms and materials and then sat in a classroom once again. It was like a dream too good to believe it was true, but true it was anyway. My heart was so full of praise to God for taking me back to school, and I determined I'd make the most of the opportunity, be successful in my studies, so that I can have a future that is better than my past. A ray of hope returned into my heart. The environment was so different. I had regular meals and everything that I needed for survival. We also had Bible study that enabled me to know about God's love and care for me. After 2 years of listening to the gospel, I decided to give my life to Jesus as my Savior and my Lord, and I got a peace in my heart I didn't have before. Amy goes on to say that she's learning construction skills at the center, and during the pandemic got a job as a mason, which allowed her to get some money and buy a small house for her mother, as well as some sheep, which will become a source of income for her mother. And after she graduates, she wants to go to the university and become an engineer. And at the end of her email, this is what she said. She said, "My heart is so full of gratitude to all the people that support the center." That means us in this room. "It's because of them that my future hopes have been resurrected." That's the word she used, resurrected. Do you hear that? Do you know what that is? That is the sound of dry bones rattling. The story isn't done. She's still in school, but out of a home filled with fighting and poverty and brokenness everywhere, bit by bit, year by year, God is joining bone to bone and bringing dry bones to life so that Amy can see just how big God is. So here's your homework, Bell Press, for this week. First, remember. You probably noticed on your way in, there's a stone out there in the lobby that was donated to us. And over the next few months, this stone is going to actually change and evolve in ways I'm not going to tell you about because it's a surprise. In the Bible, when God does something significant, he told people to set up stones of remembrance. So today, before you leave, as you go out of the lobby, tell one of the artists there one word, give them one word that sums up for you the last 18 months. It can be a word of hope, or it can be a word of lament, either one. One word to the artist, and they'll put it on the stone. If you're online, you can type it in the chat, and we'll get it to the artist as well, as a way of remembering. Second, Bell Press, it is time to start preaching to the dry bones. It is time to stop living under the shadow of the dry bones. It is time to stop living with all this division and fear. It is time to start preaching to the dry bones, because what Ezekiel shows, what Jesus' resurrection shows, is that God does his best work in graveyards. So whatever is dry and dead in your life, preach to it. Preach to the marriage, to the financial problem, the relationship problem, whatever problem you face, preach to it, because Jesus has the power to turn dry bone people whose spiritual lives have dried up and wishbone people just wishing for a better life and jawbone people who just talk and talk and talk and talk and fingerbone people who just point and point and argue and argue. And tailbone people who just feel like their whole life is sitting on their tails in a cubicle and they want more. And chestbone people who have a broken heart into backbone people who have courage and hope and joy overflowing the measure. You are not alone. You are part of a vast army through which God is making all things new. So, Bell Press, it's time to start preaching. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord and live. So, Jesus, we bring our dry bones to you, whatever they are, and we lay them at your feet, because we know that you are the God who remakes everything. You are the God who breathes life into what has died. And you are the God who turns dry bones into a vast army to bring your good and hope and healing to the world. And Jesus, we know you can do it, so we give it to you. And Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do, and we're going to give you all the glory because you alone deserve it. In your name, Jesus, amen.